This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We start today's Animal Week edition with a story about dogs and people helping each other. For years, dogs have been trained to guide the visually impaired, search for missing people, and sniff for bombs and drugs. But puppies are now being taught to help people who have psychiatric problems, including post-traumatic stress disorder. We're going to hear from an Iraq war vet who relies on his service dog in ways that will surprise you. But there's another part of the story. His black lab and nearly 500 other service dogs have been trained by prison inmates through a program called Puppies Behind Bars. Under the program, inmates who apply and are accepted are matched with a pup who lives with them in prison and learns dozens of commands necessary for physical or psychiatric assistance or bomb sniffing. Our guests are Gloria Gilbert Stoga, who started Puppies Behind Bars in 1997, Nora Moran, a former inmate who trained dogs and now works for the program, and Paul Bang Knudsen, a retired Marine corporal who was wounded in Iraq. They spoke with Fresh Air contributor Dave Davies.
Gloria Gilbert Stoga, Nora Moran, and Paul Bang Knudsen, welcome all of you to Fresh Air. Gloria, let me turn to you first. The inmate gets the puppy at 8 weeks old, is that right?
Yes.
And then just tell us a bit about kind of how long they're there, what the routine is, what kind of training they do.
We raise two kinds of dogs in prison. One are bomb-sniffing dogs, explosive detection canines, which we started after the terrorist attacks of September 11th. And the other are service dogs for wounded veterans such as Paul. If it's a bomb-sniffing dog, it stays with us for about a year. If it's a service dog, it stays with us for about a year and a half or 2 years. In both cases, even though the training is wildly different, the bonding, the love, the nurturing, the constant care, and the full responsibility for a live being is the same regardless of type of training the dog's undergoing and regardless of whether it's a male or a female inmate who is the puppy raiser, as we call them.
The dogs, do they live with the inmate 24/7 in their cell?
Yes. Yes, they live in the cells with the inmates 24/7. There's a kennel that's set up in every cell. We have an extensive volunteer network of 400 volunteers who agree to take the puppies out of prison either for a couple of hours or for a weekend so that the dogs can get exposed to the real world. If the dogs only grew up in prison, they would be extremely well behaved. They would be very well loved. But they would become concerned when a bus went by or that when a kid came by in a on a skateboard or something like that. So we have an extensive volunteer network that does take the dogs out of prison. And every single weekend, we run two puppy shuttles into Manhattan where the dogs spend a weekend getting used to the urban chaos of New York.
Now tell us about the training that the inmates actually perform. How many hours a week? How difficult is it? What do the dogs learn?
For the explosive detection canines, we teach them a couple of things. We teach them to use their noses rather than their eyes to find a hidden object. We teach them to go into a room and do a search pattern so that they're literally sniffing every single surface in the room. And we teach them to be well behaved. For the service dogs, we teach them 85 different commands, five of which we made up, and Paul actually gave us one to make up, that our soldiers and Marines have told us would be useful in their lives with our dogs. That includes everything from picking up an object, opening a door, holding the door open, getting a water bottle out of the refrigerator, turning on and off lights. The specialized commands, which Paul may well address, are specifically for wounded warriors with PTSD and or traumatic brain injury.
Do you think that there is something about the life of a prison inmate that makes them particularly well-suited for this kind of work? Obviously, they're available, but is there anything about their experience that you think makes this work?
I think the emotional fragility of inmates makes it work. Those of us who have dogs, know dogs, or any animal for that matter, know that dogs love unconditionally, know that dogs have this extraordinary ability to heal. And I have heard time and time again from inmates saying that they will tell their dog things that they've never told anybody else. Their dog doesn't care what their crime was. Their dog doesn't care what their social status in life is. All their dog cares about is that this person loves me, this person takes care of me, this person feeds me, and in return, I give kisses and love 24 hours a day. And we look for men and women who say, okay, I committed a horrendous crime. I want to do something positive. And I want to do something positive not just for myself, but much more importantly, I want to do something positive for others. That combination, I think, makes inmates extraordinary dog trainers.
You know, I hear some real emotion in your voice as you describe that. These relationships must be really powerful for you to witness and experience.
It is. We see transformations constantly. There are a lot of parallels between the wounded warriors who are prisoners in their own homes and the inmates who are prisoners in prison. But the inmates who are withdrawn, who are perhaps shell-shocked, for lack of a better word, the dog brings them out, the team, because it's a team effort to raise a dog, brings them out. People really blossom. So I see that month after month, year after year, and yes, it's something that's very gratifying to me.
I want to turn to you, Nora Moran. You're a former inmate. You're now a staff member for Puppies Behind Bars. First, just tell us a little bit about what landed you in jail and how long you were there before you became connected with the program.
Well, I became incarcerated at age 17 for armed robbery. I was a really angry, lost, confused young adolescent girl. And I used that anger to lash out at innocent people. So when I became incarcerated, I needed to understand that I didn't want to be a person who created damage in the world. I wanted to be a person who was a vehicle for healing and growth. So 2 years after I became incarcerated, I joined Puppies Behind Bars and started realizing that dream.
You know, if you're really with the animal 24/7 for a year or a year and a half, it must be awfully hard to say goodbye.
It is awfully hard, but it's kind of like sending them off to puppy college. We understand that the year in a couple months that we spend pouring our love and pouring our commitment into that dog is going to go off and share that same love with a veteran returning from war, and it gives that love to a society before we get there. So it fills us with pride as well as a hinged in a little bit of sadness.
Well, Paul Van Gnutsen, let's talk about your story. I mean, first of all, you were a corporal in the Marine Corps in Iraq, right?
That's right.
Tell us how you were injured.
We were in a special forces unit, Marine Force reconnaissance duty, and we drove into an area near Syria and engaged in got ambushed simply, and I suffered gunshot wounds and to the leg and some concussive IEDs and RPGs. So pretty much they threw the book at us. And that pretty much, changed sort of the landscape of my own life.
I'm sure. So yeah.
I was removed from the battlefield in an expedited fashion and back to California eventually for about a year. And now I'm, this is about 3 years later. I'm here in Seattle, Washington, and had some problems with isolation starting to sort of the PTSD signature is sort of experiencing things out in the civilian population that startle you, and people term them as flashbacks or sort of re-experiencing based on stress. So that can happen in a supermarket or wherever, and it's not really a socially acceptable behavior. So what tends to happen is sort of an isolation process. And as I was becoming isolated, I was understanding that something was going wrong, and I, you know, kind of knew that this was an issue. It, you know, so the VA is making all kinds of efforts to mitigate this disability and return to a healthy lifestyle. So that's how I found out about this program, Puppies Behind Bars.
Well, tell us about getting Samba, your dog. Describe her for us, if you will.
Samba's a black lab, and most people that come up and ask or say, is she English? And she's a smaller variety, and, you know, she's an incredibly adorable dog, and it's something that, you know, she almost creates a crowd, or people do notice this dog. She is a black coated dog that, you know, with a very shiny coat.
And they're in the studio with you, right?
And she is on the floor of the studio today. So she wears her service cape that identifies her as a Puppies Behind Bars service dog for veterans of the Dog Tags program.
Could you describe some of the difficulties that you were having and how Samba helps day to day?
Sure. Samba has been trained specifically to mitigate my startle response. For example, any supermarket, I think about like a Costco or something, you know, maybe a larger store with big aisles, and walking around those corners is a stressor for me. I think everybody's run into someone like coming around, meeting at those intersections of the aisles of, you know, you're coming around the corner, a blind corner in a supermarket. And well, the normal reaction is, you know, excuse me, or you can laugh it off. The startle response for someone with PTSD who already has their hypervigilance up is something that it increases and can lead to sort of flashbacks of memories of war and being, you know, in a survival instinct, fight or flight situation. So one of the commands that Gloria was speaking of earlier is we have Samba pop the corner. And what she does is she walks slightly ahead of me and simply looks around corners and identifies whether or not there's people there to me by stopping and looking at me. She also does things like standing in line, she knows, to watch my back. And that is the same sort of thing. If anyone, basically, it's not like an aggressive dog in any way, but she will notify me if someone is coming to tap me on the shoulder or startle me in any other way, I guess.
How does she notify?
She performs a block. So she removes herself from a sit to greet the person. And she also does a block, which would create basically a body bubble of space between the person and myself.
Gloria Gilbert-Stoga, you run this program. These are really fascinating things to hear.
And I'd like to follow up on something Paul just said. We, at this point, have paired 15 veterans with our dogs, and I feel that we learn from each and every one. We learn from the mistakes we make, but we also learn from the vets what they need. And it was actually Paul who taught us pop the corner. It was in training, and you were going into a room, I believe, Paul, and Samba went ahead of you, and she looked to the left, and she looked to your right, and you said, oh, she just popped a corner. And we said, what in heaven's name is that? And you said, dog looked left, dog looked right. I know it's safe to enter that room. As a result, 100% of our dogs since Samba are now taught that command. So it's really cool that the veterans help us understand what they need in their service dog.
We'll hear more of Dave Davies' interview about the program Puppies Behind Bars after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to the interview Fresh Air contributor Dave Davies recorded with Gloria Gilbert Stoga, who founded the program Puppies Behind Bars, Nora Moran, a former inmate who now works with the program, and Paul Bang Knudsen, an Iraq war vet who has a service dog named Samba who was trained in prison through the program.
Let me ask you, either of you, I mean, what are some other specific ways that dogs are trained to help vets with post-traumatic stress?
Another one of our veterans whose flashbacks are physically debilitating, and he ends up oftentimes on the floor in the fetal position. His wife went shopping one day, left Alan home with the dog, came back from the supermarket, and Frankie, the dog, was standing at the front door. And Gina, the wife, thought, that's weird. Why isn't Frankie with Alan? Oh, well. Went back to the car, got more of the groceries. Frankie, the dog, was still at the front door. And at that point, Gina said, oh, my God, there's something wrong. And she went running down the hallway. And there is Alan on the floor in a fetal position, completely unresponsive. When we heard that, we said, we've got to do something if the dog and the soldier are alone and there's no human there. So since then, we've taught all of our dogs to literally dial 911 on a phone, not only on the command help, but if all of a sudden I were to stop talking or if I were to fall out of my chair, the dog would be cued and would dial 911.
How does a dog dial 911?
I'll tell you the secret. It's a large phone. Generally, it's a phone for the visually impaired, and it's a wall phone, and each of the numbers are pre-programmed 911. So every single command we teach, we break down into basics. So first, we taught the dog to go to the phone, literally with its mouth, take the receiver off, and then with its nose, press any one of those buttons, each of which will work. And one of the inmates actually rigged up that once the button's pressed, a light goes on. So both the dog, I guess probably more the humans, can see, hey, dog made enough contact. And then the dog goes right back to the soldier or the inmate who's pretending to be a soldier on the floor. And we'll repeat that if indeed help doesn't come.
How long have you had Samba, Paul?
I've had Samba, I believe, somewhere in the 6 month. Is it 6 months, I think?
Yeah, February of this year.
And have you noticed any sustained difference in your mood or reaction since she's been with you?
The answer is yes. I've had a lot better time engaging a normal or happy civilian life since I've had Samba. And there's other pieces to the dog ownership. You know, they have a great internal clock and setting a routine. For myself with traumatic brain injury, that's an important piece. It's, working on time management. If she needs to eat at a specific time every day, and she certainly knows when that is. She also needs to get out and exercise. And the isolation piece, I think, is really one of the biggest problems of kind of going down the wrong road, continuing to isolate yourself as a PTSD veteran is really, I guess, the sickness or the problem. And getting out, and this is something that is, Samba is a social ambassador and is able to take the focus or attention off of me or the veteran in public, and it also takes my attention off of the hypervigilance. So instead of looking at the mall as a series of sniper locations and possible IED bags or debris cans or looking at the normal civilian environment as a hostile threat, I'm actually focused on the reinforcement of the training and the dog, not only with my eyes and watching her, that she is performing these commands properly, but mentally we're synchronized in getting from point A to point B without diverging into the perceived threat.
Well, before I let you all go, I wanted to give you an opportunity to say anything else that you want to, that we might not have covered.
I'm extraordinarily lucky that 12 years later, Puppies Behind Bars is still as relevant and rewarding to me personally as it was in 1997. We had a group of our soldiers, our dog tag soldiers, come into a men's prison last fall, and I have never, ever seen the kind of immediate bond I saw between those wounded soldiers and our inmates. And I was sobbing. The men were sobbing. And sobbing in front of a woman and sobbing in front of corrections officers doesn't happen that often in a men's prison. But they just spoke the same language. They were on the same level that these dogs had helped them both get out of their emotional shells. And as Paul just said, get out of that isolation. And that is something that I'll remember forever, and so will the inmates.
Gloria Gilbert Stoga founded the program Puppies Behind Bars. Nora Moran is a former inmate who now works with the program. Paul Bang Knutson is a former corporal in the Marine Corps who was wounded in Iraq. They spoke with Fresh Air contributor Dave Davies. Our Animal Week series continues in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.